Let's welcome Chris. Chris is one of our leadership team. Let's give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
Chris is going to do a little talk and then lead us in our baptisms. Chris, I'll pray for you if I may.
Super. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for Chris. Thank you for his wisdom, his leadership, and his love for you. We pray now that you will anoint his words, that we may be changed and transformed by them, that you will speak through him to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Michael. And good morning, everyone. Good morning. This is just like a doubly exciting day, isn't it? Because we've got church family gathered here together, worshipping God, also gathered online. Hello to all of you who are joining us online. It was lovely to see Sophie bringing that interview there. And then, on top of all that excitement, we're celebrating the baptism of Abby and Ailey. So there we go. How much excitement in one day? So I can already sense in the room there's just this sense of readiness to see what God has for us this morning. I have a question for you as we begin. So I'm not the greatest gift chooser and giver in the world. Ask my wife, Esther. I find it really hard to choose. So I like to have a little bit of help sometimes. Like, what would you like me to get you? So if someone, you know, a friend, family, were to buy you the best gift, or even give you the best gift, they don't have to buy it, were to give you the best thing they could give you, just have a little think, what would it be? Now, for those of you who might like to draw that, it might be the younger ones, it could be the older ones, we have a whole bunch of pieces of paper here at the front, there's pens at the front. You're really welcome to get some paper, and through the whole of my talk, you could be drawing a picture of the best gift that someone could give you. If you thought of something and you're okay with it, then have a chat to the person next to you. Tell them what that gift would be. If that's someone close to you, that might be really helpful for them. Brilliant. So I'm loving the buzz that is around the room at the moment. I remember the laughter that is there. I wonder if there were any moments of big revelation for people. Oh, that's what you like. So I'm going to tell you this morning, this conversation, look, there's so much going on. It's just taking a while to calm down. This is great. I love it. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm just going to speak for about 10 minutes. On the greatest gift that has ever been given and the greatest gift that ever will be given. We hear about it at the end of Romans 6. And as a church family, we're encouraging people when we come to baptisms, just reread if you haven't read it before, then read it for the first time. The whole of Romans chapter 6, it's in the Bible. It is the most amazing declaration of what it is to be children of God. And right at the end, it says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I want to spend just 10 minutes telling you about that gift and what it means here, now, today for each of us. To do that, though, we're going to have to go a little bit back in history. God, who is it that we worship? I talk to you about God. Who is that? God is the creator of the heavens, the earth, and everything in it. That's a lot of creating. You just think how vast the universe is. We don't know where the extremities of it are. And then think how intricate our human bodies are made. All of that created by God. This is his creation. Now, if you read back in the book of Genesis in the Bible, you find this moment where the people that God created, rather than being close to God, there with him, they turned their back and they walked away and they started going and doing their own thing and saying, hey, I can be better than God. I want to be God. I want to be in charge of my life. I don't want God to be in charge of my life. And we saw this thing called sin. Now, you might think that is all kinds of things, but really at its root, it is just of people who say, actually, you know what? I don't need God. I don't even believe he's real. I'm just going to go and do things my own way. And that's what we see through history. Again and again, people turn their back on God. And we realize it's part of our human condition that we find ourselves turning our back on God. But you know, God loves us. He's always loved us. He loved us when we were close to him. He loved us when we turned our back on him. He still loves us now completely, fully. He couldn't love us more perfectly, regardless of how we've been towards him. And so he wasn't content to leave it that there we were, rejecting him, saying, we don't want you. We're going to go our own way. And so he said, I'm going to do something to make a difference. I'm going to change things. Now that change was God becoming what Christmas we talk about, Emmanuel. That word means God with us. At Christmas we celebrate Jesus. At Easter we celebrate Jesus. At different points in the year we celebrate Jesus. Jesus was God's solution to us being out of relationship with him. But who is Jesus? We call Jesus the Son of God. Now, he is God. Jesus is fully God, born as a man. And Jesus paid the price for our sin. You see, in all our rejecting God, there was a price to be paid. And so Jesus, born as a man, walked on this earth. But he was not accepted. Some saw him and some said, yes, you are the Messiah, the Savior, the one who will bring this difference in the world. But others said, no, we don't recognize you as that. You're just a man. They didn't see that he was God. And so they put him on a cross and killed him. And in that moment, Jesus paid the price for not just one person's sins, but every person's sin. That we could know freedom. There is the gift. It cost God everything. It cost him his one and only son. But there's good news. Jesus paid the price, but death couldn't hold him. 3 days later, he rose out of the tomb victorious, conquering death, and thereby giving us not just freedom from sin, freedom from that rejection of God, but inviting us into life. Life abundant, full life. And not just life for this moment today, but life for eternity. That's what we read of in Romans 6. Let me just read a little bit more and then we'll spend just a couple more minutes. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin, ending our rejection of God. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of those who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Listen on. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's what we read of. Read on if you get time at some point. It just carries on at this way, just bringing truth and truth and truth out in these words. That is the reality for us. That is God's gift to us, giving us Jesus who died for us, who raised to new life. But that's okay. That's all 2,000 years ago. What does that mean to us right now, today, for each one of us? What does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus? Well, that picture I gave you at the start of where people had turned their back on God and they were choosing to walk their own way. A relationship with Jesus starts when you turn and you recognize that God is the sovereign creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in it. and that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, to die for us, and that Jesus rose from the dead. And in accepting that, turn your life and say, I'm going to walk towards you, God. I'm going to walk my life now in relationship with you. That is what it means to turn our lives to Jesus and to follow him. But there's a little bit more. Jesus didn't stay on the earth when he was resurrected. He was there for a period of time. And then he said to his people around him, he said, look, I've got to go and be with the Father. And it's better for you that I go, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And so right now, today, we can walk with Jesus, because Jesus sent us his Holy Spirit, who he said is just like me. And each one of us can know the reality of walking in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is where we find this greatest gift, because that is life to the full. Not life without trial and trouble and tribulation, but life in the presence of the Holy Spirit, every moment, every day. Now for Abby, for Ailey, they made that decision to follow Jesus quite a while ago now with lockdown. It's been like, it was a while ago, wasn't it? And in fact, it's probably, 2 years since we last did a baptism like this? I'm looking at Chris. I reckon so. They've made that decision. They know the reality of living every day in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But that invitation is not exclusive. God's invitation is to every one of us. No exceptions. There is no one who can say, oh, but God, you haven't seen what I've done. Yes, he has. And he's still there, reaching out a hand of invitation, saying, come, I want you to come close. Oh, yeah, but God, what about? No, it's okay, come close. That's his invitation. And so if for today, this day marks a day where you've never thought about any of this, I'd encourage you, as this all goes on, to be daring to ask that question. Jesus, would you show yourself to me? Holy Spirit, I'd love to know your presence. And think about what it might mean for you to acknowledge the presence of God and accept his invitation to be in relationship with him. Now, towards the end of this gathering, after we have baptized Abby and Ailey, we're going to be asking if anyone else would like to be baptized. Don't worry, we have got some spare clothes. Now, of course, baptism is something that often people bring family and friends, and that might for you be something you want to do in the future, and that's great. Get in touch with us, and we would love to take you on that journey, just walk with you through that process. But if you just sense that this moment is that moment, then I will make that call, offer that invitation to you at the end of the baptisms. So Abby and Ailey, being baptized today, it is a joyful celebration of their commitment to Jesus. You will hear us using slightly different words. So Abby was baptized as a child, and we are celebrating the fact that she has come to her own choice to worship and follow Jesus. And so the words used are slightly different, but it's just a celebration of who she is. And as she goes under the water and is immersed and then raises up out of the water, that is a symbol, a picture of what it means to die with Jesus and to be raised to life with Jesus, like Jesus died and was raised out of that tomb. For Ailey, you've not been baptized, and so this is your baptism. And again, we celebrate, and as you are immersed in the waters and raised out of the waters, again, that picture of dying with Jesus and being raised to new life. For both of you, it is this beautiful symbol of new life, which you already walk in. And it's a recognition. The Holy Spirit is here in our midst. You know, this water, this is just water. There's nothing special about it. If your parents are happy with you being on camera, you're welcome to come and just have a little feel of it. We'll see if any are brave enough. It's just water, but you know what makes the difference? We are the people of God gathered here. Whether you know him, whether you don't know him, the Holy Spirit is in our midst, at work here. Well done. That's really good. Go on, have a feel. Is it warm enough? Do you reckon it's warm enough? I hope it is, because it's too late now. Brilliant. I love it. The Holy Spirit is in our midst. Let's be expectant that the Holy Spirit will not just speak to Abby and to Ailey in this moment, but will speak to each of us will touch our hearts and call us to a response to him. That's all I'm going to say. I think we should get on with some baptisms. You reckon? So I think Abby, Morag, can you come up as well? So Morag's going to help baptize Abby, Ailey, and Jim, Ailey's dad. Why don't you all come up onto the half stage here with me?